On this vote, the yeas are 230, the nays are 197, present is one. Article 1 is adopted.
The President of the United States has been impeached for now only the third time in history.
I'm the first person that ever got impeached, and there's no crime. I feel guilty. You know what they call it? Impeachment light. It's impeachment light.
From the very moment that the majority party in this House won, the inevitability that we would be here today was only a matter of what date they would schedule it. Nothing else.
We voted against it three times as recently as July. We did not want this.
House Democrats are dividing the country and further shaking the people's trust in this Congress.
This impeachment is permanent. It will follow him around for the rest of his life, and history books will record it.
Looking away from these crimes against our country is not an option.
Pontius Pilate afforded more rights to Jesus than the Democrats have afforded this president in this process.
We have a president who seems to believe he is a king.
This is a political vendetta. It has nothing to do with the crime committed.
Irregardless of any facts.
He broke our laws. He threatened our security. He abused the highest, most sacred office in our land.
All in favor, say aye.
Aye.
Opposed, no.
No.
The House has acted on a very sad day to protect and defend the Constitution of the United States. To do so in a manner that was fair, even though the other side was mischaracterizing it. Nonetheless, it was fair.
I'm not worried, because it's always good when you don't do anything wrong, you get impeached. That may be a record that will last forever.
On this vote, the yeas are 229, the nays are 198. Article 2 is adopted.
I'm Tanzina Vega, and this is The Takeaway. And we start with the third impeachment of a United States president in history. I'm here with my colleague, Amy Walter, who hosts this show on Fridays. Amy, lots to get to. Thanks for joining us today.
Of course. Hi.
So, you know, one of the things we talk about here on The Takeaway is the truth gap in the United States. And I felt like that, frankly, was on full display yesterday during the hours-long vote. I was really struck by the gap between what Republicans and Democrats were saying, and we just heard a little bit of that at the top. So let's talk a little bit about strategy. Democrats want to take the high road, saying they're doing this for the Constitution, to save democracy. Republicans seem to be in lockstep with talking points that have taken hold in the party, deep state, media conspiracy, et cetera. We've debunked many of those on the show. Amy, what stood out to you?
We are at a point now in our political process where we do have these media bubbles that all of us live in, and nothing really penetrates that. Even when you may have a question about something that relates to your party, right? Maybe you don't totally agree with or you have questions about, but nuance is not allowed in this bubble. It is either yes or no, black or white. And so there was never and has not been an opportunity for some Democrats who say, look, maybe this is bad. I don't know if we're to the place where there's impeachment. That voice wasn't allowed. And for Republicans to be able to say, I think what he did was wrong and we do have to stand up for the rule of law like we've done before, that wasn't allowed. Again, I think it is breaking down that way along voters in this country, in large part because they're using the cues from media, but also their political leaders to decide their positions on this issue.
To that point, I want to remind listeners, I mean, I remember the last president to be impeached was Bill Clinton. I would argue that it was around that time that the GOP really began splitting ideologically from the party of Reagan to even the party of Lincoln to this sort of more rabid style of partisanship that we see today that really has no boundaries other than loyalty to the president. Amy, are the Republicans at this point just feeding the beast?
I think what we are in right now is a sense that, and yes, it's Republicans, but I think we're going to get to a place where Democrats are also at this point. They are right now in some ways. This idea that it's all or none strategy. There's no like long-term thinking. Okay, part of the reason that the political process works, and quite frankly, so many of our institutions work, is that the losers believe that someday they're going to be on the losing end. Someday I'm not going to be in the majority. Someday I'm not going to be the biggest fish in the pond. And I'm going to want to be treated fairly. So I'm going to treat those who aren't in my position of power fairly. That's how we know this should work. That doesn't work anymore, right? That's now it's very short term. Can you win today? Forget about 10 years from now, 2 years from now. What do you need to get what you want done today?
And I wonder if that helps explain a little bit of going back to strategy for a second, because the strategy I think that we've seen so far from a lot of the Republicans leading up to now, particularly in a lot of the hearings that we've seen, have been, whether it's Brett Kavanaugh, the Mueller report, the impeachment hearings, is a lot of outrage. It's a lot of yelling. It's a lot of indignation. Does that help explain it? I've got to win today. I've got to sell this today at all costs.
Well, and it's also the animating strategy and the animating rationale behind the Trump candidacy and the Trump presidency. It is about grievance and outrage and a sense that we have been wronged for all of these years, either when Obama was president, Democrats were in charge, and also just more broadly, American culture, the American economy, American demography has been all pushing one way and pushing us out. And we've been on the sidelines and we're not going to take it anymore. And every opportunity there is to show how we've been sidelined and maligned and ignored, we are going to highlight. And so, look, the cycle of outrage, I think, to me, is one of the most detrimental developments in our politics. And quite frankly, it is encouraged by our media platforms, right? How do you sell advertising? Well, you got to keep people tuned to their cable news boxes, and you're not going to do it by having really thoughtful conversations. You have to keep people engaged and outraged, and the same with the social media platforms. And so it just is a self-perpetuating process.
And to that end, I mean, let's be honest, there are more 20 House Republicans announced they won't be running for re-election in 2020. So this isn't all. I mean, I guess the big question for me is, you know, a lot of these folks will end up probably leaving government and probably going That's off right. into the private sector to make more money. So why would they, with nothing at least political to lose, if you will, why would they stick to party lines?
Right. So this is always a question, right? How much of this is just pure political calculation? How much of this is loyalty? And how much of this is their like actual belief in the system? And I think sometimes it's hard to disengage all of that or to untangle all of that, especially when you've been part of the process for so long. Those things become almost all one in the same, right? You identify with all of those pieces you just mentioned, Tanzina. It's not just, this is my party, this is my tribe, these are my values, but it's now makes up the entity of you is number one. From the purely cynical piece, which is number two, that yes, everyone has a short-term memory and we will move on to the next outrage very soon, but if you want to have any sort of political future in the immediate term, and you're right, whether that is you're going to go lobby, you're going to go back home and run for a different office, or you just want to be involved in Republican politics, being seen as a quote unquote traitor is going to damage you for the foreseeable future.
And yet there were a handful of Democrats who did vote against impeachment. One of them was New Jersey Representative Jeff Van Drew, who's indicated that he's switching over to the Republican Party. So maybe not much of a surprise there. But I mean, were these folks that were just outliers who wanted to vote that way for their own political gain? Because, I mean, are people really going to remember these folks on the national stage, to given your the point that you made about having a short-term memory? Like, is anyone really going to know who those three votes were?
I mean, nobody really remembers who voted. I was just going through the Clinton impeachment and, you know, there were four articles and, you know, who voted against this one and who voted for that one and how many defections were here and there. And there were a handful on each of those articles, but I don't remember who those people were. And they're not going down in history as, well, you know, I voted against Article 3. Right. That's how America will remember me. No, absolutely not. And even the people that we were the most, like, when you think about the Senate trial, somebody like Joe Lieberman, who had been very publicly lamenting the choice in front of him and doing a lot of hand-wringing about how much he disapproved of what President Clinton had done. Even then, in the end, he stuck by his party. And of course, the next year he was picked as a running mate. And then, 4 years after that, what is he known for now more than anything else? Being John McCain's best friend.
Right, Joe.
And,
right.
Mm-hmm. Exactly. And interestingly enough, his son is running for the Senate in Georgia, and he's trying as hard as he can to distance himself from his father's more moderate legacy.
When we talk a lot about swing voters and independent voters, are they going to be influenced by what they saw yesterday? I mean, part of me wants to say yes, but then again, I don't know if I see lots of swaying happening at all based on this impeachment.
Yeah. You know, it's a really good point. And I think for folks who don't follow politics obsessively, which quite frankly is most normal people, what they saw or listened to was just, it seemed like a lot of yelling and not a lot of conversation. And so I don't know that that process alone made people feel like, I should really tune in. I should really come to understand what's going on here. My reaction personally when I hear people fighting is just to step away. And I think that is probably what happened to most voters that who sort of see themselves in the middle, or at least see themselves not really aligned with a party or a position in this fight.
And there are, of course, dueling positions here at the very top. We know that Nancy Pelosi, after the articles of impeachment were passed, said that she's going to wait to send them to the Senate until Mitch McConnell guarantees a fair trial. Mitch McConnell has been very outspoken about the fact that he is going to go with the president and the White House. What leverage does Pelosi have, Amy?
I'm really perplexed by this. I don't think a whole lot. And I do think for Democrats, the process itself, dragging this out, is going to be more of a problem than it is going to be helpful to them. I think that if you look at, again, all of the data that's come in from all of the polling and the focus grouping, voters have pretty much made up their mind on this. They get the joke. They know that the Senate is not going to convict the president. Dragging this out looks very political. It looks exactly like what voters, at least in 2018, told Congress they didn't want to see. They were tired of the show. They were tired of the reality politics. They wanted to move on and get to the issues. And I think dragging this out and making it look as ugly as it looked yesterday is not going to benefit Democrats at all. So I wouldn't be surprised to see that by the time we hit early January, articles go up, we have a Senate trial, the president is not convicted or is acquitted, we move on, and by the summer, we kind of almost forget that impeachment even happened.
Amy Walter is the host of Politics with Amy Walter here on The Takeaway every Friday and national editor of the Cook Political Report. Amy, thanks so much.
Thanks, Tanzina.